The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of Kevin Jordan or his guests. These gardening tips and suggestions may work for you, as well as those from alternative sources. When using any garden products or tools, read and follow all label directions.
The Green Acres Garden Podcast is the podcast dedicated to helping gardeners hone their growing skills while we celebrate our love of plants. So whether you're new to growing or a seasoned gardener, you're sure to learn something new. Join the fun as we have conversations with world-class growers, passionate green thumbs, and professional garden experts from Green Acres Nursery and Supply. Listen every week. We'll answer questions you didn't know you had. And away we grow. Welcome one and all to the Green Acres Garden Podcast, folks. So happy to be here. My name is Kevin Jordan. Plant daddy, or a daddy who loves plants, back in studio, happy to be back in studio with Austin Blank, the peanut butter to my jelly. How's it going there, Austin?
Hey, Kevin, I'm doing great, and welcome back to the show, everybody. Kevin, how are the kids doing?
Kids are doing great. Yeah. Still no sleep, but I'm happy to be back at work, kind of in that routine. It's nice to be back with my students, out in the garden a little bit. I'm trying to race against spring. We're behind a few weeks, but
because you were gone, so
we were gone right in the heart of April, and so now we're kind of getting after it. It's really good to be back. The weather has been it's been warm and cool. Today's episode, we're going to talk all things May gardening. There's so much going on right now. It's one of those months where it's just, we're like all bees. We're just buzzing around the garden. I got to go out to the nursery this week, Austin. Middle of the week, middle of the day, Monday, actually it was. People everywhere. It was packed. I was like shocked. I was like, whoa, there's a lot of people. This is on a Monday afternoon.
Huh.
Just, I mean, I could barely get a parking spot. And so I walk in there.
We got some gardeners out here.
People are buzzing around.
I like it.
It's funny. I think that straw hat, people go, do you work here? And I'm like, well, not exactly. But I was in there answering questions. It was so funny.
What was the question you answered?
I was in there picking out tomatoes and peppers for our own school garden. And people kind of saw me. And I started kind of talking with other people because they were looking at a plant. I'm like, oh, that's a beauty. Oh, yeah, get that one. Because there are varieties that weren't around last year. So, of course, our good friend of the podcast, Brad Gates, the wild boar, he has some new varieties that I got to grow like as a secret agent last summer,
right.
Berries, Crazy Cherry, and many others. But now a few of those have made it to market, and they're actually, you can go get this. So I was in there just marveling at them. I'm like, oh, I grew that one last year. It has these huge clusters of yellow, you know, tomatoes. And I'm telling one person that, then another person overhears me. He goes, he sold me. And he starts grabbing a couple. So it's just the vibe out there, man. People are stoked. I think this is going to be one of the best springs for gardeners in our area, or hopefully any area, because we're just putting our experience, our enthusiasm, and knowledge together as individual gardeners for hopefully an amazing season. So today's episode, we're going to be diving deep into May gardening tasks.
All right, awesome. Sounds like a plan, Kevin. Thank you so much. Let's go ahead and dive into our May tasks.
Harvesting and composting.
So for us right now in the garden, we're doing a lot of things. So I'll just get right to it.
Okay, sure.
We are actually in the middle of not only planting, but harvesting. So as of course, I mentioned some strawberries, but what we're really pulling out are some of our in-ground vegetables. Carrots, our beets are almost ready to come out. We've been harvesting peas. So all those cool season things are now coming out. The cabbage, all your brassicas, they're pretty much done now. It's just getting too warm. So either harvest or remove all those cool season crops if they're either spent, finished, or just ready to eat. Carrots, I see a lot of people online kind of, I don't do carrots, they're so tough. You know, and I've struggled with them in the past, but this year we've amended the soil. We've removed as many of those little pesky little pebbles and rocks as we could. But now we have really rich, deep, loose soil. We kept them evenly moist. And the most important thing that I think that we did is that we thinned them out. It took a bit of effort, but we don't want carrots on top of each other. So we actually thinned them out. And now we're pulling out carrots that are beefy and meaty and sweet and delicious. And you'll see, I brought some for you to try as well.
Thank you.
I was actually crunching on some earlier with my lunch. And it's awesome. So if you have those plants and it's time for them to come out, pull them out because guess what? It's also time to plant.
Okay.
So for us, when it comes to planting, soil is everything. I know if we say the word mulch or compost on the show, you got to raise your glass of iced tea and take a drink. but of course, compost and mulch.
Yep.
So we'll start with compost. Every time that we plant, two times a year, in the fall and in the spring, we add compost to our soil at the school. And that, I'm telling you, it does wonders. When we started, the dirt was hard pan clay. It had gravel and chunks of asphalt. And now I can wiggle my hand down in there up to my elbow without any force. So adding compost, adding that organic matter really kind of brings your soil to life figuratively and quite literally with organisms. And if you have a nice handful of healthy soil, Austin, it's going to have more microbes in that one handful than there are human beings on the planet Earth of healthy soil.
That's cool.
And that, all those microbes and the fungi and all the things that we always bring up, that is what's really going to allow a gardener to really have success. Even on those hard days, soil that's rich in organic matter tends to drain better. It tends to hold moisture longer, and it provides nutrition to your plants, like where the soil is feeding your plant, opposed to you getting a bunch of chemicals and then feeding your plant. There's so many benefits, the erosion and the weed control. You've got to add a top dressing of compost. It could be earthworm castings. It might be chicken manure. It might just be a nice blend of soil you get at whatever nursery you go to. It can be compost you generate at home. And now there's a lot of cities that have compost programs that you can look into. So wherever you live locally, you might want to check into that. But either way, feed that soil. Like I said, even if you had an amazing harvest last year, actually, especially if you had a big harvest.
Right, because then all that's been taken out.
It's been depleted, absolutely. Right. So you give that soil some nutrition, and the soil will feed your plants, and the plants will feed us. So if you want to have a lot of success, you know, use compost. Use that organic matter in your soil. Even the harshest soils can benefit and over time be improved dramatically with compost. So go for it.
Planting.
So now that you've amended your soil, hopefully to a great degree, you're off and running, but you got to get some plants in the ground. And I've seen a lot of people online, a lot of chatter in the online-osphere where people are like, is it too late to plant? Did I miss the bus? Absolutely not. There's some people who they just absolutely love getting their plants in really early. Like Brad Gates mentioned it, it's fun to be the first person on your block with a nice juicy harvest of tomatoes to show off to people. But it's absolutely not too late. This is a prime time for planting. Actually, at the school, we're still planting right now. Like I said, we're a little bit behind my normal schedule, but that's okay because the weather's been a little cool, a little warm, a little rainy. But now we're kind of warm. The soil is nice temperature. All those warm season crops are loving it. So we're getting peppers in the ground. We got a bunch of tomatoes planted. And we're kind of looking forward to all the things that we're going to add as well. So whether it's seedlings or seeds, it's not too late. Now, if you want to grow a tomato, probably don't want to plant it from seed right now. So you're definitely going to have to get a seedling or transplant for that, right? Same with peppers. Just because they take so long to germinate and to kind of propagate into a nice, healthy little seedling, those are some plants that, you know, if you want to get them in the ground, you got to look for some seedlings. However, it's not too late to plant seed. Things like pumpkin, your squash, all the cucurbits, cucumbers, your melons.
The cuca what?
Cucurbits, the cucurbitas, the family of
I think
plants.
I'm learning a new word here.
Is this? And so they are just, yes. Cucurbit.
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 I don't like it.
Cucurbit. Oh, yeah. And so your cucumbers, your pumpkins, ooh, your melons, your squash, they're all related. They have big seeds. They're what's kind of fun. If you have children or anybody, they're fun to plant with because they're so massive. You can see them. I really love direct seeding them. Some people kind of want to put them in a 4-inch or a container and get them started elsewhere and then transplant them. I like direct planting some of those seeds. Even your beans are awesome to direct seed right now. They sprout and grow relatively quickly. And so even if you want to maybe save some money or you don't or you want to get things started still, it could be seedlings or seeds for a lot of things. So your pumpkin, squash, cucumbers, way more affordable to start from seed, and there's a lot more selection and variety you can get your hands on. So if you want one that's off and running, go for it. I saw some at the nursery. They looked really healthy, but those are fun ones to plant from seed, and it's not too late because they're going to grow really quickly and get off, and you'd be shocked at how fast they're going to grow, especially those melons and cucumbers. Actually, all of those I listed grow relatively quickly. And when it comes to those beans, there is nothing like a nice handful of fresh green beans out of the garden. You can get green ones, purple ones, yellow ones, ones that you can have trellis and you can have them climbing beans, pole beans, or you can get ones that don't need it at all and are just small and kind of shrubby and kind of are standalone. Either way, I've had a lot of success with those in the garden. They're really easy to harvest. You can eat them fresh. You can cook them. So beans, for me, I think are an awesome choice, especially like right now in our garden. I was like, man, I have a lot of peppers and a lot of tomatoes. And so I was like, maybe I need to mix this up. I got to shake it up because it's fun in the summer to have some variety. And with beans, it's really cool to do What you can do with actually all of your vegetables, or most of them, is you can do a staggered harvest or staggered planting. So that way you can have a successive kind of harvest where sure. you can plant a row of beans now, wait 2-3 weeks, plant another row, and kind of and do that until, you know, a little bit further into the spring and into early summer. That way, because they go, they'll mature, and then just as one row is finishing, the other one's ready to harvest. So there's a lot of fun to be had with that. That's even been brought up with tomato planting, where you get some tomatoes seedlings in really early, and then you kind of even stretch some out into right. later into spring, early summer. So that way, at the very end of summer, when some of your early planted ones are kind of exhausted and not producing like they used to, you can still have a great harvest of some of those later planted seedlings that are just – it's just fun to have. So not putting all your plants in on the same day is not a bad thing. Okay. I think we all get in this mindset, I got to get it all done now. No worries. You're in a perfect window right now from late April into May through May. It's a perfect for planting. Things are warming up, but it hasn't gotten scorchingly hot. So it's a great time to plant seeds or seedlings.
Planting flowers.
We've talked a lot about planting vegetables, but it's not too late to plant flowers right now, whether it be your annuals, perennials, even from seed as well. We were just talking with producer Greg earlier, and he was mentioning he's like growing these state fair zinnias. And he said that I planted some seedlings. He's like, and then in front of the seedlings and off to the side, I planted the same same flowers, but in seed form.
Hmm.
So as the seedlings develop and start to mature, those seeds will start to sprout and grow as well. So you'll get this nice just wave of blooms where instead of all those flowers all bursting at once, you're going to have this nice continuous just flow of blooms through the summer.
That's cool.
And that you can do that with different varieties that you choose, but you can also just do it with the timing of how you plant. So seedlings to seeds, there's a lot of creative ways that you can kind of bring that color into the garden, and you don't have to have your flowers completely separated from your veggie garden. Some of the best gardens I've seen, they're all kind of mixed in and jumbled together, and they tend to play nicely with each other and have some nice benefits as well. There's some beautiful flowers out there right now. Actually, that comes to selection. So if you're a person who, whether it's your veggie garden or your ornamental landscape, Austin, right now is the best time to go just look at plants just for ideas, and because of the selection right now. So in the nurseries, you'll notice every season it changes on what's available, what's plantable, and what you can get your hands on. But typically, this next month or so, they're going to have the most options. So the variety, the selection, and the way the plants look, you're really going to get a great indication and idea of kind of what to expect from those plants. So if you're kind of new to planting or new to growing or not at all, and you just want to go out, right now is an amazing time. And all your local nurseries, they're probably going to have the best selection of the year right now for all those perennials and of course some of your summer annuals as well. But man, things are popping.
Oh, I agree.
Right now.
I've been popping, going out. I'm still looking for good ideas for what to do in my front yard. And it's kind of a challenging area. So I've been going around, because I live in Midtown.
It's surrounded, compact. Yeah.
Surrounded by great gardens everywhere.
Yeah, your neighbor.
Great plants.
Yeah, I was blown away.
So what I've been doing is I've been walking in a new way now to try to catch all the homes on the block that are in the same position. You know, each block has a house like mine facing that same way. So I'm looking at all of them. What are they doing? What are they doing? Looking for more
smart
ideas. But every block seems to be different with trees and everything. So I still haven't quite found a good thing, but I'm on the hunt still.
Well, and you have a great thing here in where you're at is there's a huge urban canopy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the forest here, I mean, the trees are all 50, 60 feet tall.
And yeah.
So there's plenty of shade and dappled light. So there's a lot of opportunity there. I love it. And I think you bring up just a wonderful concept, I think, for people too, whether you're really highly skilled or not. Is just you can get an amazing ideas just from seeing what's out there and just looking at other gardens and landscapes, because sometimes it's hard to start from scratch or you don't know what you don't know. And so I do that all the time, even still, Austin. I love it. I love walking around and just seeing what other people are doing it, how they're doing it. They're making walkways and trails and dryscapes and, you know, all these, you know, different styles of landscaping. I love it. And then you see different plant choices as well. So there's a lot to be said about just yeah. walk your neighborhood and get out.
We're surrounded by really smart green thumbs out here, and there's a lot of beautiful plants. So
absolutely.
Totally agree. All right, Kevin, let's jump back on our checklist. And I'm curious, what else you've got? What should we be thinking about in the garden right now?
Weeding and mulching.
Weeding your garden, right? So it's not the sexiest garden activity or the most fun, but often it has one of the best results. We were doing it in the landscape today. I was noticed, dude, I had my hairy vetch, Austin.
Again with this.
My hairy vetch was gross, out of control.
This gross thing that you talk about.
No, it's a great plant, but in the wrong spot, it becomes a weed, right? And so we use it as a cover crop in some cases, but it was in our garden that we use for bees, butterflies, and birds, mm-hmm. our pollinator garden. And it's just starting to, I can see it crawling all over plants and kind of going that horrible thing that some weeds do where they get up into the inside of the plant and then grow up through the middle.
Ugh. Oh, no.
So, but you know what? It comes out really quickly and easily. There's also some other weeds I've noticed that have loved this weather change. They're utilizing the moisture in the soil and the warm weather. So just the same elements that are good for all the other plants, the weeds love as well. So for me, The weeding is just absolutely necessary. And so we get in there. There's different tools you can utilize and different methods. You know, you don't want to break your back, but getting to them early, it's like an illness or anything else. Get to them early and often, and it won't become a big problem. And so right now, as the weather has changed and those cool season weeds are kind of saying goodbye to us, and all those warm season ones, the nut sedge, the Bermuda grass, the B word.
Yeah.
And many more. It's just a great time to attack them because a lot of times they're small right now. And they're starting to show themselves. So even in parts of my landscape where we have very thick mulch, it's still not perfect against the weeds. So I'm noticing even a few come up. But the nice part is they're not deeply rooted in. Mm. So get to them early and often.
You've got small weeds?
Oh, yeah.
I've got big ones.
No, we had some big. You get to them as fast as you can.
Right.
Because
okay.
If we wait, they're going to become where you're just like going to look at it and go, oh, I don't want to deal with it. But if you get to it and it's small and they pop right out, then it makes life easier. Your landscape, your plants, everything else in there that would be suffering with their presence can now do well. So I know it's not like the most fun thing to think about. But
very important.
But dig them up, dig them out, get them gone. Don't put them in your compost. You can let the city green waste it for you. But yeah, get them gone because a little bit of effort now is so much worth it. When it comes June, July, August, and you're irrigating, the heat, you just don't want it. And if you get rid of them now, it's not a big problem.
Sure.
And then once you do that, I'm going to get back to the M word.
What's
mulch,
that?
Mulch, mulch.
Oh, there we go.
Yep. Time to take a sip of your water, everybody, to your tea. Take a sip of tea.
He said it again.
But it's so important because of all the things we've talked about before, the suppressing the weeds and building the soil and reducing soil compaction and, you know, reducing how much we need to irrigate. Mulch is fantastic. And even if you've added some in the past, you'll notice it kind of like seems to disappear, but it does. It is because it is. And it's breaking down and becoming soil. And so this is a perfect time of the year to kind of replenish it, refresh your mulch. You always want at least 2 to 4 inches. I'd say 3 to 4, because that's what's really going to allow you to actually have that mulch make a difference. If it's half an inch to an inch or whatever, it's really not going to be enough. And then it'll break down quickly also. So lay it on thick, but you're not going to pile it against your plants. You don't want it touching the trunks of your plants. Kind of give your plants a little space.
A little donut,
yep. And then that way they can breathe a little bit. But I'm telling you, it has fantastic results. We've bumped into farmers who were, you know, the Mandarin farmers, where it's like, hey, how do you feed all these trees? And how do you, you know, get these huge, abundant crops? And he's just like, we add so much mulch for so long that it has just broken. And then the mulch almost becomes compost in a way, right, over time. So mulch, mulch, mulch. It'll look nice in your garden, and it'll really help suppress those weeds so much. And has all those other benefits we talked about, of course. So mulch it up, people,
okay.
Please. Mulch.
I'm going to start a
early
counter
and often
for every time you say the word mulch.
Yeah.
We'll see if we ever hit a
yikes.
New record after this.
But I'm telling you, so after you weed, if you can add that mulch in, it really makes a big difference.
Okay,
because you don't want to be right back out there pulling weeds, right?
No.
For sure.
Yeah, I want to do that as little as possible. So pull the weeds, get the mulch down, and then what are we thinking about next?
Don't forget about your irrigation.
We're gonna play. We're gonna have some fun, Austin. We're gonna play with water. Right. This is the perfect time of the year to kind of reevaluate your irrigation system. You can replace it, repair it. You can convert it. So recently, I converted some at my own home. I had a little side yard. It was all grass. Ripped the grass out. I didn't want to completely overhaul the irrigation and the piping. So what I did is you can actually convert sprinklers into drip systems, actually a number of ways, either with manifolds or little adapters. And it's really all about...
You sound fancy and smart now.
Right, yeah. Manifolds and adapters, but both of which are really easy. If I could do it, anybody can do it. And it's one of those things you can look up videos. You can kind of ask people at your local nurseries. But it's essentially like Lego. You're putting pieces together. Each piece has a purpose. And when it comes to getting that drip system going, it's really just about getting in a pressure reducer to slow down your water. Mm-hmm. You can put inline filters if you want to filter out little micro particulates so they don't clog up your emitters. You can add those. I like to put a little valve in, just a little hand turny valve, a little ball valve, so you can actually turn on and off certain areas if you want. There's a lot of ways you can customize your irrigation. So there's not just one way to do drip. You can have micro sprays. You can have inline little tubing that has the holes built into it. There's sky's the limit for it. You can really get creative. And I'd say even for somebody who's never done it, you can learn to do it and actually be pretty successful. And right now is a great time to do it. Like I mentioned, you don't want to be out in the heat of July and August and all that trying to figure out how do I get water to my plants.
Do it now.
And even if you have sprinklers, it's pretty easy to convert sprinklers to drip systems. You just got to just look it up a little bit and find it. If I can do it, anybody can do it. But right now is a perfect time. And also, not just the converting, but sometimes things break or I chopped through a tube the other day.
What?
Just like a weed whacker or whatever, weed trimmer. Cut through a little piece of plastic or a tube where they get brittle from the sun. So if you notice things that's cut or broken, just get in there and repair it. And it's easy enough. And if you need help, just get down to your local nursery, whatever it may be, and just ask for some.
Right.
I think you'd be shocked how easy it actually truly is. It's one of those things where it's difficult until you do it. Then you go, oh, wait, why did I think it was difficult?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I set mine up and I had fun with it. It was kind of fun. And the biggest maintenance I've experienced was not anything breaking. Maybe it's not old enough yet, but they just get moved around. It's like squirrels and cats. There's critters out there like moving this stuff to and fro. And I never had it locked in, I think, tight enough.
Yeah.
So I had to constantly kind of...
Yeah, rodents are fun. They're
readjust.
Fun little tricky devils to deal with. But I'm telling you, a little bit of work on your irrigation and also just adjusting it. Let's say you have a perfect system. It works great. Now the rains are starting to stop and slow down for us here in Northern California. And it's time to maybe adjust your watering, especially as you're adding plants that require it, especially early on. You don't want some of those seedlings to dry out completely. But then as they start to develop, you can do kind of less frequent but deeper watering. So there's a lot of... A lot of fun you can have with doing those adjustments, and it's kind of necessary, especially when you have some plants, like we have blueberries. Didn't really have to water them for much of the winter because of all the rain. Now those are slowing down. Our blueberry plants, they don't want to be inundated in soggy water, but they have a lot of really fine kind of shallow roots, so they don't want to completely dry out either, especially right now if your blueberries, they're like mine, they're packed full of developing berries. And they're looking so good right now,
Austin.
So
are you adding water to it?
I'm just making sure to kind of open that valve up, make sure they're getting enough water so that that way they can stay evenly moist as they develop and mature those fruits into ripe little berries.
So you already had it rigged up.
So it's that irrigation system was in, but it's your timing.
Got it.
Right now is a great time to kind of look at your timer, play with it. And that's going to be different for each person, depending upon the plants they're growing, their soil, and what their aims are. So it's really up to each individual to figure out what's going to work best for them. But more than likely, as things heat up, you're probably going to have to water more.
Okay,
right, so
that makes
sense.
All right, cool. Wow. So, man, we're covering a lot of ground here. We're talking watering as well. I'm curious. I feel like you probably want to say fertilize. That's probably another part of this puzzle, right?
Austin, you're reading my mind. Yeah.
Feed your plants with fertilizer.
Weeding and feeding, right?
Weeding
so we've weeded,
feeding.
We've mulched, we've planted, and now it's time to feed your plants. Of course, I always preach on here, I love organic fertilization. I love building the soil and using organics. Like I said, let the soil feed your plants. And so to feed our soil, there's tons of different options for people. There's not one way to do it. There's bat guano, sea kelp and earthworm castings, chicken manure, and beyond. And so you can add all those things. And then a lot of that fertilizer will have some of those things in there, the bone meal, the feather meal, the cottonseed meal. So it's kind of fun to look at whatever organic fertilizer you do purchase. You can kind of see that ingredient list to see all those magical little ingredients in there. And it's nice to have a blend of things because that way they'll break down at maybe different speeds. And they'll break it down into the soil. So right now, a perfect time to fertilize. The one suggestion I will get, I kind of overheard this from some of the nursery, where they burn their plants with too much fertilizer. And it can be synthetic or organic you can burn with. And so it depends upon what you're using. It's a lot easier to do it with some things where it's like, if it's like a liquid that you don't, maybe didn't dilute quite enough. So make sure whatever fertilizer you do choose, just use as directed. Sometimes we've heard a lot of people have success with microdosing their plants. So instead of giving a bunch of fertilizer all at once and then going, I'll come back in a few months and do it again, they give them smaller doses, but more often. And that can be in liquid form. But nice, you know, nice
far
dilution.
Out,
and that's, you can see the fish emulsion and sea kelp is a good example of that, where you can dilute it pretty heavily, but then feed your plant more consistently. I use a mixture of some of that. And I also do some granulated and powderized organic fertilizer, like I said, where it's all ground up, you know, bones and feathers and different types of meals, blood and bones. It's good for them. And of course, and the guanos. And
this is for plants that we're just planting now, even?
You can give it to them now. You can, and it's, the one thing I will say to keep in mind is give them a light dose during planting, or especially after they get established. But then as they start to kind of grow and you see those flowers, like say on your tomatoes emerge, it might be time to get in there and give them another light dose. And then you can kind of stay consistent with it. Some of our veggies are really heavy feeders, and they tend to kind of exhaust the soil pretty quickly with all their growing.
Would that be like a tomato?
Tomatoes, peppers, all pumpkins and cucumbers, all of them. And so it's nice to be able to make sure that you're ensuring that the plant is going to have all the nutrition it needs. But that doesn't mean that you need to go out and just buy a bucket of chemical fertilizer and just dump it on each plant. Whatever you do choose, just use it as directed, and I think you'll be fine. But just come back early and often, because you're not going to want to just give them one dose in the spring and then forget about it. You're gonna see your plants get exhausted midsummer if you don't come back. So keep them fed and be consistent with
so
it,
this
and you'll
could
see
be,
good results.
Every other week kind of thing?
Depending upon the fertilizer you're using, yeah. And it's really going to depend, but definitely—
But make it part of your habit.
Yeah, part of your habit. So some of them are like every 4 to 6 weeks, you'll see.
Okay.
You can add it.
But if I'm microdosing, maybe you're doing it more.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So it's really going to depend on what you do select and choose. But no matter what you do, don't just do it once and then be done with it, because then they're going to get exhausted. And then midsummer, you're going to notice, oh, man, I had a good flush of crop early in the summer, and then it kind of just faded off. So be consistent for sure. And feeding the soil is a big part of that. So veggies, flowers, herbs, keep them fed up. They're going to love it, and they will reward you for your efforts.
Very cool. All right. Thank you, Kevin. Are there any other tasks that we don't want to leave out?
There's so much. Even pruning right now can be a thing that you can keep on your radar. There's some flowering shrubs out there. We brought up azaleas and rhododendrons a few weeks back, and this is the time of the year that they really bloom super heavy. And as those blossoms fade, you can kind of get in there and just clean them up. So if you want to deadhead or trim back any faded blossoms on some of your spring flowering shrubs that are a little bit spent, you know, don't let those blossoms hang on there all season. Trim them back. That's going to make the plant look a little nicer, and hopefully that'll promote a nice rebloom later in the season. So keep an eye out for just pruning needs. Any dead, diseased, dying branches on any of your plants, go for it. But it's just that time of year where you can do with those. Just a little thing here or there will kind of keep your yard and your garden looking really nice. And what's nice is we can actually even go inside the house for some garden tasks as well. I know we were outside today, but a lot of the same things that we discussed for our outdoors, you can kind of translate to your indoor garden. So house plants, I love them. Actually, I had a casualty, Austin.
Uh-oh. You lost a plant?
So during those first like few weeks of being exhausted, bringing the kids home from the hospital, one of my spathiphyllums, which is like almost like the canary in the coal mine for all my house plants. They're beautiful little flowering plants. People probably know them if they grow them. But they need more water than a lot of my other houseplants. So if I stop watering, they're the first ones to kind of show me that. So I had one that just was like, it just did not look good. So I had to zap it back to life. But it was great. It was a great indicator that all the rest needed a nice deep soak. So
I had a peace lily that was like
that's a peace lily.
Oh, is it the same thing?
Yeah, that's spathiphyllum, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know its actual name.
Yeah, yeah. So the peace lily. You just tell. They're always thirstiest first.
Right.
Right.
They're dramatic. They just like, they flop.
Yeah, yeah,
they're
yeah.
Like,
yes,
I'm mad.
Like a 2-year-old throwing it. Yes, yes, yeah. Now I'm having flashbacks to my old son. But yeah, so this is actually a great time to do all those same things we discussed. But you can take your plants outside on the patio, give them a refresh, cut off any branches that aren't looking good or didn't make it through the season. Repot if you need to. Replenish the potting soil. Give them some fertilization, a nice deep watering. Take cuttings if you can, because you'll probably notice a lot of new growth comes this time of the year on a lot of your house plants.
Because it's warming up inside.
Yes. Too. And the days are getting longer. They're getting more light. And so I've noticed a huge flush of growth, both at the school and in my own indoor garden at home. So bring those plants on the patio. Spend a little time with them. All those same ideas and concepts we discussed with improving the outdoor garden can almost relatively be like equally translated to the inside. Replenish the soil if you can. Refresh it. Fertilize. Get some deep watering in. Maybe start some fresh. Take some cuttings if you can. But it's a great time to kind of pay a little attention to that indoor garden as well, because they're going to start waking up also with a longer day length and whatnot. So
that's
it's a good time to kind of have some fun with them. And it's easy gardening, man. You can do it in the shade. And then some people, if their plants, they'll leave them on the patio if it's protected. So some people, this is the time of year where they go, oh, I can take some of my tropicals outside and really let them kind of just go and grow. Because you'll notice if it's not too cold and they're not getting hot, direct sunlight, they like that. Because all these house plants and nature grow outside. So it's a better time of the year to kind of experiment. So some people, you'll notice.
That's sort of breaking my brain a little bit.
Yeah.
Because like I'm thinking like an indoor plant can maybe only has, well, since it's been growing in this, because you know if you move them around inside, they get sensitive.
Yeah.
But you're going to move it outside and it's going to like it?
It depends on the plant. But yeah, some people, they really prefer having them on the patio.
Cool.
But like I said, if you have frost conditions or cold weather or brutal sun, That's something to consider. But for the most part, I mean, I've had pothos out there and a lot of my house plants, and they like it as long as the weather is right. So, I mean, really check with your own situation. But tropicals love it. And what's nice is they grow. If the conditions are right, you'll see them just burst with growth. And then as the season ends and the cool weather comes back in, people, you know, they bring them all back in. So it's kind of fun to kind of transition. So there's so much to do right now in the garden. Don't garden alone. Get friends to help you. Ask for help if you need it. Go online. Go into your local nurseries. You know, ask questions. That's for me, the best way to learn about growing is to learn from other people, but also just to learn by doing. Just do it. Just get your plants in the ground. Get them started and get off and running.
You know what my best way to learn is?
Yeah.
Is hanging out with you.
There we go. I love it. Good. I appreciate it, man.
And do it.
Yeah.
And do it.
Well, I learn by failing. I learn by killing a plant sometimes, and that's sometimes a necessary evil. But one thing I will leave us with today is that we can have a lot of success if we band together, help each other. I think the community of gardeners in our area and kind of it's building. I think the vibe for gardening and growing and cultivating at home is just something it's just building momentum, because I think there's so many different benefits to it, both just your own personal, emotional, physical and health and finance. There's a lot of different ways and reasons to garden, and everybody has their own. But the one thing that is cool is that just it's something that everybody can do, and it's something that we can all benefit from. So I love it. I think this is going to be an amazing season. If you haven't got your garden started now, don't worry. It's not too late, and you can get after it and get started. Please, we need more gardens out there. We need more flowers.
Yes.
So I think it's just going to be a fantastic year. And like that kind of makes me think of is, let's all avoid any mistakes that we made from gardening last year. So if you had a garden going last year, whether how successful it was, learn from your success, learn from the failures, and just keep pushing on. Because I think little things like, for me, for instance, pruning tomatoes and having them not be super duper bushy early on to allow for easy ease of harvest, healthier plants, or even peppers. We were growing peppers, planting peppers out in the garden the other day, some seedlings. And I've remembered in the past, if my pepper is getting kind of top heavy and falling over with fruit and not really being deeply rooted, so we were planting them deep. You know, we even did some snipping back to kind of induce some of that lateral branching and bushiness. So there's a lot of things you can, either mistakes you learn from or things you want to experiment with. So what I'll also say is plant what you love to grow and eat, but also be open to trying some new things as well. So we've got some new varieties of tomatoes in the garden and peppers and many other things. So I'm really excited on some varieties that we haven't grown. So it's fun to, like I said, learn from those past errors, but also just look forward to a future success. It's going to be a delicious summer, Austin. I'm telling you.
All right. That's getting me pumped. I love it. Well, that is all we have time for. Kevin, thank you so much for running us through your garden advice and tasks that you advise us to be thinking about here in May and preparing for a big season of growing, a big season of learning, and hopefully deliciousness, like you said. I love it. Kevin, go ahead and take us out.
Well, another fun week. And, you know, before we leave, I got to say a special tip of the straw hat, a huge congratulations to one of our team members, Lauren, who was part of the podcast team. Her and her husband, about a month or two before my situation, her and her husband welcomed home two new baby girls.
More twins.
So this podcast has produced two sets of twins. I don't know what's in the water. I don't know if it's the fertilizer, Austin, or that mycorrhiza underneath my nails, but something's going on. And so we love her. She's a fantastic person to work
Big
with.
Big congrats to Lauren.
And we could not be more happy for her and her family. It's incredible. And so with that, garden friends, I want to say thank you all to you for being here each and every week. I love being here and I love having you. It's fun to garden. It's fun to grow. And let's do it together. Until next time, garden friends, happy gardening to you all. And please never stop growing.